lovingly doted on his little son, and Khadija Radhiyallahu Anha always held her nursling close, not least because he was a fruit of their love. Al-Qasim blossomed and grew, bringing so much joy to his parents. Over the year, the couple witnessed his laughter and antics as he hobbled up to take his first steps to walk. But their joy in the birth of Al-Qasim was not long-lived, as sadly, the little boy passed away. It was Allah who had blessed them with Al-Qasim, and it was to Allah that he had now returned. Khadija radiallahu anha and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforted each other as they grieved for the loss of their little one, hoping that one day they would meet him again. Not long after the heartache of Al-Qasim's passing, the patter of tiny feet were heard once again in Khadija radiallahu anha's house with the birth of a gorgeous baby girl. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was overjoyed and named her Zainab radiallahu anha, which means the adornment of her father. Her birth was followed very soon by the birth of another daughter, who they named Ruqayya radiallahu anha, meaning the refined and elevated. A home full of children was a home full of blessings, and a year after Ruqayya radiallahu anha was born, a third daughter, Kulthum radiallahu anha, joined the family. Theirs was a home where smiles and loving embraces were plentiful, where those in need were never turned away, and where people would come to entrust their most valued possessions. It is no exaggeration to say that theirs was the happiest home in Makkah. Chapter 10. The Mount of Hira. Khadija radiallahu anha held up her red necklace made of shiny Yemeni carnelian stones. It would look beautiful on Zainab radiallahu anha on her wedding day. Many happy years had passed by, and Khadija radiallahu anha witnessed her daughters blossom into young ladies. At that time, it was quite common for girls and boys to get married young, and so, before long, Zainab radiallahu anha began to receive proposals from the best families in Makkah. Zainab radiallahu anha's aunt Hala made a suggestion, "What about my son Abul As as a match for Zainab?" Khadija radiallahu anha was elated. Abul As ibn Rabia was Khadija radiallahu anha's beloved nephew, a fine, upstanding merchant who had a reputation for his modesty and honesty. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy with the proposal, as was Zainab radiallahu anha. And so, Khadija radiallahu anha lovingly placed her Yemeni necklace around Zainab radiallahu anha's delicate neck and wished her a married life full of joy. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up suddenly and allowed his eyes to fully awaken. He had one of his vivid dreams again. These daily dreams he kept having were no ordinary occurrence. For the day after he saw them, he would be surprised to find that every incident he had dreamt of would unfold before his very eyes, exactly as he had dreamt it. Sometimes he would hear a voice distinctly calling out his name, and would look around to find no one there. Strangest of all were the voices he would hear from the rocks and trees around him, greeting him with salam. Something very strange was happening, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't fathom why it could be. It was around the time when these strange things began to take place that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the clamour and commotion of the city was too much for him, and he yearned to retreat to the mountains. The magnificent mountains of Mecca were silent witnesses to all that had taken place there from time immemorial. They had been there even before the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had left his family on that fateful day in the middle of the desolate valley. If mountains could speak, they would have many stories to tell. Mount Nur was off the beaten track on the outskirts of Mecca. It was quite a walk from Khadija Rina's home, but its very distinct camel hump summit, looming rust brown in the distance, made it finding it easy. Khadija Rina would accompany Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his long walks there, and as they advanced closer and closer, it seemed to welcome them from all sides with a glorious embrace. That's when the ground suddenly became steeper and harder to climb. Large, shiny boulders, bronze and tawny brown in colour, piled higher and higher around them, with a smattering of smaller stones scattered in layers, one on top of the other, filling in any gaps. It was a long trek up the mountain, and there were some rocks that had to be negotiated with care. If the full moon shone on a clear night, its light was so bright that they could see their shadows behind them as they walked. When the climb came to an end, the rocks became more like grey slabs leaning against one another, until eventually, there it was, the cave of Hira. It would be easy to miss the cave completely if you were not looking for it. The cave of Hira was just big enough for one or two people to stand inside it, and there was a slit within it, through which you could see the Kaaba in the distance. It was here that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found comfort. Most of the time, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there alone, bidding Khadija radhiyallahu anha and his daughters farewell. He would walk away from the noisy, busy crowds until eventually the sounds of the city subsided and silence stretched out surrounding him. He knew that Allah, who had made the heavens and the earth and everything in between, could hear him. So, up in the cave, he sat and supplicated to Allah with solemn prayer, yearning to worship him as he would want to be worshipped. No matter how strange people thought it was, Khadija radhiyallahu anha understood Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's desire to be in the cave as no one else did, and she would prepare food for her husband, wrapping it up in some cloth so that he could have enough to last for as many days as he needed to stay there. She was willing to make the sacrifice of parting with him because she knew in her heart of hearts that he needed to be up on that mountain like a fish needs the ocean. Once in the cave, he would sit and contemplate, gazing in the breathtaking view of the countless flickering fires of the city. Life in Mecca troubled Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The idolatry, the oppression, and the divide between rich and poor. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam yearned for guidance. He scanned the inky black sky and its glistening stars, their distant light burning so brightly and so endlessly. Thinking about the incredible universe surrounding him, he yearned to know the one who created it. Was it possible for him to be guided by something higher, by the divine being beyond this world? He wasn't sure, but he hoped to find out. So alhamdulillah, we learn again from these two chapters about the caring nature of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also Khadija radhiyallahu anha. We also hear about the heartache that both had to endure after experiencing such highs in emotion by the birth of their son Al-Qasim, and then to have to leave him from this temporary world when Allah's orders came that he should return to his creator. We also learned how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with three daughters, and how Khadija radhiyallahu anha was such a loving, understanding wife that she would bear separation from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would need to retire to the Mount of Hira for his own contemplation. So inshallah, we shall carry on this beautiful book next week. I really cannot wait. Now, in true fashion for this Thursday night's bedtime stories, a humble reminder to our wonderful listeners that with it being the night of Friday, Shabbat Jum'ah, all listeners are requested to recite as much durood and send it to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to prepare for the day of Jum'ah like it is a day of Eid. And finally, one hadith regarding giving in charity, as we have been doing for the last few weeks. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O son of Adam, it is better for you to give away what you can spare, and to withhold it is worse for you. But you will not be blamed if you keep back what
may barely suffice you, and spend first on those who are dependent on you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, give us the true ability and understanding of the benefits of giving in charity, putting somebody else first for once. No, because Allah, inshallah, will reward us. Whether it's a small amount of tea we give in charity or whether it's a big amount, inshallah, if our intentions are right, inshallah, will reward us accordingly. It's been a great pleasure having you all tuning in tonight for tonight's bedtime story. Reminder again to all listeners that before you go to bed, read the bedtime dua. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And also to read the kalima before you go to sleep. So until next week, assalamu alaikum.